Hey, this is Omar, and I'm here with Garen and Sean from
Arsonists Get All the Girls.
Oh, yeah.
So how's the tour going so far, guys?
I would say that it's fucking going really good for 3 years taking a break. Right off the bat, you know, there's a couple good shows here. There's a couple amazing shows. But for taking 3 years off and being a headlining band after putting our new record out on our own, it's really, really, really paying off. And it's good just to be back on the road again.
It's definitely been a cold tour. It's been a little frosty out here. So it's kind of weird, you know, getting back out on the road with fragile bones from the cold. And we're surviving.
Cool. So with the new record, this is, I guess, your first headlining tour with the release of your self-released record, Listen to the Color. Now, what made you guys decide to say, fuck the labels and do it yourself?
Well, we didn't really say fuck the labels. We had a really good relationship with Century Media. We put out 4 records with Century Media Records, and Ray Harkins always treated us really well, Steve Joe, all the boys at Century. We were done with our contract, and so we wanted to see if we were able to do it DIY, you know, because we know that we have developed like a strong enough fan base to make it a potentially bomb release, you know.
And it was we put the record out, and we weren't exactly sure if we were going to tour again. We just wanted to put a record out on our own and see what would happen. And it got really good publicity online just through releasing it on our own. And that, you know, just really fueled us to, like, want to tour again. So it's really, yeah, it's awesome to put a record out for $2 on Bandcamp and then headline a tour when you're on tour with, like, Victory Records and Metal Blade bands, you know what I mean? We were on Century Media, but it's really cool to get the difference of what it's like to, you know, be a self-sufficient band and do your own thing.
Cool. Like, so did you guys, like, was it all self-finance as well, or did you guys, yeah, like, oh, okay.
It was definitely a lot different than putting out the other records, you know, with Century. Obviously, we had to do everything by ourselves. We covered all the expenses for the studio time, covered all the expenses for the gear, you know, living time, you know, while we're writing the album. You know, we self-financed everything for this new record, and then we had to ask for a little bit of help from our fans for the van to get us back on the road.
Yeah, so I saw that part.
That was hard to do, but we felt like we did put in a lot of work for this release. We wanted to see if our fans actually wanted to hear it, and getting $10,000 from our fans for a van meant that, you know, like,
that people still give a fuck,
but still give a shit, and
yeah,
they still give a shit about us, and then they want us to see us out on the road, no matter even if we're doing it ourselves or with a label.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that you guys did the Indiegogo thing. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, when I was doing my research for you guys, because I've known of the name for years. It's like, oh, yeah, because there's so many bands. It's like, you get, as a journalist, you get so many, you get so much stuff thrown at you. It's like, oh, God, I can't constantly listen to everything. And it's like, I have a life I need to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I thought this was like, something I don't really see that often. I was like, wait, they offered one for a van? I was like, shit, why not? You know, at least they don't get a shitbox van, because, shit, you know, we've all seen, the tour's going great, and then your fucking transmission goes, or somebody's, you get a shit van.
You better,
like,
knock on wood on that one.
Sorry. There's wood in here somewhere.
Your dick's right there.
Yeah. Shit. It's kind of cold out here, man. But, yeah, I thought that was really cool, man. It's like, and then, you guys, oh, I just lost that train of thought, let me go back up. Yeah, about the recording. So, like, is that probably, since you guys self-financed it, is that probably the reason why, like, from your other albums were like almost an hour and this one's about 30 some odd minutes ish is I, that another reason why it was like, oh, we're doing ourselves and everything, it's got to be, we don't have the luxury and finances to dick around, we just got to be.
It wasn't necessarily that aspect of it. It was, we wanted to kind of go to our roots but also maintain a continual progression for the band. And a lot of the first couple records Arsonist did was very like power violence and grind oriented, and we were like, you know what, let's go back to the roots for this and just see what happens, you know. And the response is great, you know, like the 30 second songs and 45 second songs is like kind of what we started with, and we wanted to like throw the old school with the new school on this record.
But the overall duration, like the length of the record, it wasn't affected by the lack of funds. It was just kind of like we wrote 15 songs. We were kind of like unaware of how long the record was going to be, and we booked time and we went and recorded it, and it just came out to be 30 minutes. It was very unintentional. But now we know that we need to put like 45 songs on an album to make it like a good length. No, but you know, 15 songs on an album usually would be, you know, 40 to an hour. But we have a lot of shorter songs in this record, and we feel like the record doesn't get boring ever. It always keeps you on your toes. And I don't know. I feel like some records, you know, after like a good hour, I'll change it to a new record.
It's a good length with how like music is nowadays. Like most kids like only like one or two songs of every album that they listen to. Like we've always tried to maintain a flow with every record we do, especially the newest record we did. Like it's only 30 minutes, but you're gonna be entertained and you're gonna be focused the entire time. We're not gonna disappoint you. We're gonna keep you on your feet.
It's like unacceptable for us to write like those filler songs that are just there
it's pointless.
Just to fill up time. We were just like, let's just write everything we want to hear and then go into the studio and fucking nail it out.
Yeah, you know? I'm all about like, you know, being like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of filler at all. Cause it's like, why put a song out there? Like, yeah, we've never played it. We record it and we've never played it live.
Yeah.
Like, why? Then what's the point of it? Of recording a song that you never. I feel like if you're going to record a song, you know, the intention is to play it live at some point. You know, not when you get hassled into, like, bullied by your fans sometimes. Like, oh, what about that song? It's like, oh, man, I hate that song. And it's like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Like I said, like, yeah, my kid's that way, too. Like, he's got that short attention span, too. And he's like, he'll listen to a song. Like he'll, like, the hits. I'm like, dude, I can listen to a whole record. He can't listen to a whole. He has a hard time listening to full records. But, like, slowly he's getting into it now. But it's like, I can jump between. Yeah, I can put an album. Listen straight through, you know, and it's, I don't know, maybe it is an age thing. Maybe younger people just don't have that thing, and it's like, not to say that we're freaking old, but
generations is just going, their attention span is going to go less and less. Like, I just think about how old I am and how I can't focus on anything. I can only imagine with like kids now, especially with like the, like I said earlier, just the amount of bands that are out there. Like, kids are just going to want to continually like change what they actually like.
Yeah. So let's see, we guys. Talking about back to the shortness of the songs and the album, what's the writing process like for you guys? Do you guys write individually, or is it like, let's just all get together and jam it out?
With previous records, we've had our old guitar player. He pretty much came to the table and said, like, you know, here's 80% of what the entire song is gonna sound like, and you can have a little bit of feedback. But with Listen to Color, me, Sean, and Jason, our guitar player, pretty much wrote the entire record. Like, Sean would write drum parts, I'd write like some guitar parts as a drummer, and Jason, like, we all kind of just really worked like that's another reason why I think the record came out so great, because we all like had a lot to say about it, you know. We all really worked together about that. But like before this record, it was mostly written off of one person, and then we kind of like throw in our own style. But I think that's what's going to be the continual progression of the band, is to continue to write together, because that was like my favorite thing ever, like just writing all together and just, and like getting in a room, just like smoking some weed, drink some beers, and like really working together as three people, instead of just like, here's a song, that's how it's going to be.
And I just feel like Garen, Jason, and I, when we were writing this Listen to the Color, we were all so comfortable with each other. Like, no matter, we're all best friends. So like, even if Jason came up with like this kind of like guitar part, and like just like, I was like, oh, that's sick, but just like one thing, kind of just like, I was like, oh, maybe it would sound better if we maybe tweaked this here and added this there, and he'd be like, oh, like this, and then it would be like, oh, the sickest riff ever, and then Garen would be like, oh yeah, well then I'm gonna do something there, right there, so let's rewrite it so that could fit there. And so like, we would all just like mash three different ideas in this one riff or idea part of the song. And, you know, like, nobody was so uncomfortable that they couldn't, like, really say how they felt. You know what I mean? If there was, like, a part where it was like, okay, let's do it like this, and then I was like, oh, well, maybe that's a little too simple. Let's complicate it a bit. Let's use the basic structure of that riff, but complicate it. Let's take a few numbers out here, add a few numbers there, switch it up, you know? And, like, that's on this last record. We had a lot of those weird parts that, like, almost don't make sense the first time you listen to them because of that reason. And we almost, like, go out of our way to make something more complicated than it has originally been written. You know,
absolutely.
Because we're so comfortable with each other, I feel like a lot of the other bands, you know, they're like, you know, either a couple guys are tight and a couple guys are tight and a couple guys are tight. So when they all get together, if, you know, one guy has this riff, the other, somebody might not open up and say something about it just because they don't want to, like, walk on eggshells or, like,
or ego people.
And, like, all of us were like, fuck yeah, Garen was writing guitar parts with his mouth. He was like, rah, 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 you know, like, Chase would fucking, like,
right there,
somehow, like, figure it out, and it was rad.
It was great. It was definitely the past, since we started, like, it was the best recording process, and it shows through, like, the amount of, like, how much people really love it, you know. I'm really, really thankful for how people have the response of this new record. Because we really fucking... That was the first time we actually went to that level.
I like how, like, in the credits, it was, like, you know, written by the band. You know, it didn't say, oh, he wrote song 7, 3, 4, and 11. No, it's like...
us three wrote the entire...
It just said written by equally. The band.
Yeah. Absolutely. Equally, like, put in a lot of work.
Cool. That's awesome. No, let's go to the interesting. The more interesting. How is it going from a 6-piece to a 5-piece?
That was cool. You know, we all respected Jared's decision to leave, and you know, Arthur had some things going on, and he had to part ways too. And Jason, our guitar player, is such a phenomenal guitar player that he was almost more stoked just to be able to, you know, make it that much more solid. That he all, you know, it was all on him to make sure all the guitar parts were fucking solid.
Yeah.
And
no pressure.
He held it down. He started using an A-B switch, so, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with that, you probably are, but you can make it sound like you have two fucking guitar players, which is really awesome. You know, Jared left, he's up in Portland, his new career. All of us are still best friends. We still hang out with Jared all the time, and, you know, we'll hang out with Cameron at home, and different, you know, old members of the band, we're all just best friends.
Yeah, because I guess, like, Cameron did a guest vocal on one of the tracks.
Yeah, and he filled in for a couple shows this last summer, and, you know, he's a great dude. He's constantly in contact with us on Facebook and Instagram, and we're sexting him all the time.
We're all really close, and that's what Arsonist has always kind of been. You know, it's like just homies. Like, we're not just going to, like, pull some random dude out of, like, some band just because they're in that band. Like, we'd rather have it just, like, close friends, you know. And, like, Arsonist is, like, we'll play hometown shows and we'll have people will come to the show expecting, like, a different lineup, and then we'll just pull, like, one of, like, either Remy or Cameron or Jared, like, out of nowhere, and people will be stoked about it. Because, like, for us, it's just, like, Arsonist isn't about, like, being this band thing. It's about, like, just having a family of friends that, yeah, you might have something else going on in your life, and I might want a tour, but at the end of the day, we're all going to want to jam together.
Yeah.
And that's how it's always been.
Some people are unable to go on tour, you know, and then we have to hold it down, but it's really, really awesome when everyone back at home who's unable to tour with us is rooting us on, you know. And they're not like, oh, well, you know, fuck those guys for leaving me because I have to do this. You know, the band should be done if I'm done. It's like, no, they're all rooting us on because they know that, like, Arson Scale Girls has a message to put out to the world, and, like, the world needs to fucking hear it no matter, you know, whose voice is projected.
Yeah, you guys are the oldest members in the band, you know. That must be a little nerve-wracking, and I guess that makes your, I guess, personal and musically, your bond a little bit stronger, because you guys been through all this shit together. You're like, oh god, we've been through, you know, from the good stuff and the bad stuff, you know.
That's,
you know,
with
yeah. Yeah, you know, you guys, you know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people, just on a personal level, like, a lot of people, like, hey, when there's a death in the band, you know, a lot of people kind of yeah, that's it. You know, some people are just like, I don't want to play in this band anymore. You know, it's like, it's respectful that you guys, you know, you guys lost your bass player, Pat, and you guys still, you know, you could have just said, fuck, let's start over again. You guys just said, no, we're going
to
keep
it
going.
I always knew what his message was. His message was to tour constantly, drop everything, and just do it. He had more drive than, I still say this every time. We still have this drive where it's all or nothing. And that's what he really proved. He, like, when we were 16, 17 years old, he bought a van with his own money that he'd saved up since he was, like, 14. Because he knew he wanted to be in the band. And I, and Sean as well, and the rest of the band carries forth that legacy. Because, I mean, yeah, it is, I still think about it all the time when I get on stage. I still think about it. I think that, you know, what I'm doing, we still have these opportunities. It's obviously meant for a reason. And I know he's, I don't believe in God or anything, but I know he's really there in some kind of spirit. I really feel that way. Absolutely. That's why I continue to do it.
Yeah, so you guys, I know you guys set up like a little fund for him. I thought that's very respectable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, a lot of props for that.
Absolutely.
So let's see, what about the, so the album was recorded with a different lineup than that's here right now. Mm-hmm. So how was that transition between, like, teaching new guys stuff and finding the right guys versus, like, can we all go on tour from the record or not, you know?
It's been a, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure for new members to come in on tour with us when they haven't been on tour with us before, when they haven't written the music that they're playing. And so Garen and I are so fucking thankful to have people that are willing to drop everything and, like, give up their lives and, like, you know, have their girlfriends wait for them back at home or whatever it is, give up their jobs. And, like, just for them to do that, like, means the world. Like, And it just shows us that, like, there's people there that back us up, you know, that, you know, we're able to, like, give an opportunity to, and then them fucking doing it up, man.
Exactly, like what Sean's saying is, like, the people that are now playing with us on tour, like, we play with them in local bands forever, you know, like, they're people, they're not random people. Like, Arsonist usually does not bring in random people, you know. It's people that we play with forever. So it's like one big kind of family. It's a Bay Area, like Santa Cruz, like that whole San Francisco area. Like, we all kind of, like, grew up playing music together since we were so young. So it really worked out to have these people that were really down to jump on tour, because we knew we needed to tour off this record. I mean, and we understand that, you know, like, people have different things that happen in their lives. You know, you have a kid, you get married. I understand that. I respect that, you know. But me and Sean especially, like, we wanted to continue this band and tour nonstop. And it's great to have people that are willing to step up to the plate.
Cool. So how do you guys juggle, how do you juggle being in a band and having a family, you know, or whatever, being on the band and not being on tour, you know? How do you juggle those two separate worlds?
Not very well. To be very blunt, honest.
That's the
hardest part of touring. Yeah, that's literally the hardest part of touring is being, like, trying to go back to just that normal life. The hardest.
Also thing. Having, you know, your loved ones waiting for you back at home, and, you know, maybe sometimes when we're in Canada, our phones have to be off for 5 days, and you know, we could, I don't know, get in a fucking wreck, and it worries them, you know, not be able to talk to us, and you know, sometimes, you know, we're on the other side of the world, country, whatever, and, you know, and then sometimes they leave their phone, and then you're worried about them, and there's never, like, you can't just fly home instantly, you know, you have to put a lot of trust into, like, if you have a girlfriend on tour, you have to put a lot of trust in them, they have to put a lot of trust in you, you know, and family is really hard, you know, a lot of people are close to their families, and brothers or whatever it is, and you just have to be okay with being on your own, you know. You have to be mentally stable, you know. We all miss our girlfriends and family, and but they're rooting us on, and that makes it easy, you know. When they're like, You know, and my girlfriend's like, you're an inspiration because you're doing what I wish I could be doing. I'm just like, holy shit, you know, like, I don't know. I know Garen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, you just look at those situations, like, and I look at tour life, like, it's just a different type of working. You know, like, people work and they go to their job and they have that 9-to-5. Like, tour might not be like that, 9-to-5, but you bust your ass, you know, but it's a different mentality you have to kind of get into, to be able to tour and deal with, and not deal with, but like, you know, have a lady back home, whatever, you know, it's hard, but you have to, if you have that trust and understanding of like, this is what I truly need to do because I need to play my drums because I'm a fucking maniac because I can't sit still, then you should understand that. And I'll understand that you want to be a teacher or whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's all about like just trying to get that perspective on someone else's life and accepting that that's what they need to do.
Then again, you get to see like sometimes touring isn't for everybody. Some people are like, oh, I can do, I'm great in the studio, but we get on the road, and it's like, some people just can't deal with, like, not being physically comfortable. It's like, well, what do you mean I can't sleep in a bed every night? What do you mean? You know, whatever it could be, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, you are telling us. Garen and I, I think now, would be like, okay, there's two beds, and then there's concrete. Who wants the bed? Who wants the concrete? Garen and I will just shut up and take the concrete. Like, it's just like one of those things.
It's unspoken word.
It's like now it's like, dude, it's like, as long as I'm not wet or like,
as long as I'm not seriously sleeping in a bathroom in Mexico, like literally a fucking bathroom in Mexico with like just shit everywhere, I will sleep anywhere. I slept 2 days ago. I slept outside the van. We took our bench out, and I put it right next to the van. I just slept there, and I slept great. And most people will be like crying, but
not
I don't give a
shit. Not to mention it was 15 degrees.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about the weather because I'm like, wait, where the fuck were you guys a couple days ago?
No, yeah. For me, it's like
Rhode Island.
I don't
Jesus
care
Christ.
About that. Like, it's really good to be doing like with this guy. Like, he's been doing it for 6 years. I'm doing it for 9 years. But you get it. You get the fucking after like a couple years. You're like, okay. I should not have any expectations over anything, any situation, because what is going to happen when I complain about it? Nothing. Because I still have to deal with it. I still have to fucking sleep in the snow. I still have to fucking sleep in the van. So might as well take the best of every situation. And that's what tour really... Like, I'm really stoked to be touring and doing this for so long because it gives me such a good hope on, like, when I get older, you know? Because I think that will really... We'll be able to, like, have a mentality that most people don't, you know, people like to be comfortable. And tour life is not comfortable whatsoever.
it builds you as a person, and it makes you okay with the, you know, like...
The small things
in life. Yeah, it makes you really happy about the small things in life, and it makes you okay with the not-so-bad things, you know, that are easily brush off of, you know, like... You can't worry about it too much, you know, little things. You know, like, now I've come to the point where it's like... Maybe in my first year or two of touring, we fucking get a blowout tire. And, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, all right, everyone get out. Everyone get out. Let's
just
do this.
Another day.
Let's do this. And now when we go fucking change a blowout, people are doing jumping rope and fucking doing push-ups. And, all right, who wants to fucking take a turn on the fucking,
yeah,
you know, on the jack or whatever it is? You have to make the best out of everything.
Yeah. Like, touring makes you a better driver, too, because you have to...
Oh, yeah.
You're doing these long-haul drives.
Not necessarily.
So, not necessarily.
For me, when I was doing it, I could do it all night, you know? It's like, I did my first big... Like, I was driving from, like, Denver to, like, New Mexico to... And I'm like, cool, 6-7 hours. Like, whew.
Yeah.
All right, I'm good. Yeah. Like, no one to sleep. Like, no one to hang out. It's like, all right, can't sleep. But the bitch of a drive, I'll say, is fucking from San Francisco to Portland. That shit never feels like it's going to end.
We did that. That was the first day of tour.
There was that fucking dragon over there that I wish I saw it sooner because I would have pulled over and taken a picture of it.
That's in Yreka, California.
I don't know. I thought that was in fucking Oregon.
No, that's right before the Oregon border.
All
right.
I
went to high school there.
That's so fucking cool. I'm just like, fuck, I've been driving all night and I'm still like six hours away.
Dragon on the side.
I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, I can't stop yet. I can't just, like, hit the brakes and just pull over and take a look at it.
That's an 11-hour drive.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It felt longer.
Yeah. Oakland to Portland was our first drive of this tour, and it was... I love that drive now.
But you've done it for so
long. You have, too.
Yeah.
Every tour starts there.
Every tour either starts there, or you drive all the way to fucking here.
McAllen, Texas, or fucking...
Yeah, like, okay, so you got one show in between 2 days worth of driving. Straight. And you'll get to the venue right before you play. We love it. We
that's
love it so
brutal.
Much.
So you guys take turns driving, or like some people aren't allowed to drive anymore?
This tour, it's been mostly just three of us, like really powering. Like, I really like to drive at night. Like for me, like I hate driving down the during the day. I don't know what it is, but I like to power out the night drives. Sean does like in between, and then Kyle does in between.
There are. You know, certain people that scare the shit out of us. That
yeah, there's members in our band right now that I just will not ever let drive.
And this is the phrase, not, hey man, slow down, or hey man, you're fucking scaring me. It's like, we're dead. It's we all right, boys, we're dead. Right. We're dead.
We are going.
I love you guys.
With it. We're gonna crash right
we're
now.
Dead.
We're dead. We're dead. We just accept it.
Yeah. Well, at least here it's like. Pretty, like, at least on the East Coast, it's, like, mainly flat. You guys, you know, that West Coast shit. It's like, all right, you're going to be on a 6-degree fucking thing for, like, 12 miles.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah,
goes our
downshift. Brain. Like, oh, fuck, yeah. I was like, what do you mean I had to shift gears? I was like, yeah, you got to go to second gear to do all this shit. Like, really?
Fuck.
I was like, all right. I'm like, I'm not used to this on the East Coast. Yeah. So that was a fucking learning curve for me. I was like, oh, the drives are straight. I'm like, yeah, they're straight, but fucking long, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Arizona, too. That's just, like, oh. It's like, how the fuck am I keep going down and not in another country? Shit. All right, let's talk about the album. Back to the album real quick. You guys recorded with Zach. Mm-hmm. So how's working? This is like your second time working with him, I believe? Your first?
Fifth. Okay, the best...
So he's like the official sixth or seventh member. You could
he
say.
Is. He, and yes. we've... You're on your shit, dude. No, literally, he is, dude. Like, we started with him from the beginning of Arsonist, and, like, we walk into the studio with him right now, and we get an album done in, like, a week and a half, opposed to which most bands spend at least a month in the studio, because he knows exactly what we want to sound like. He pushes us so hard. Like, he's the kind of guy who's like, nope, you fucked up. Horrible, try again. Horrible, do it again. All right, well, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, he's like that, but you need that when you're a studio. Like, he gives you that push, and every record we do with him just sounds better and better, and especially the newest record. This is the tone on the newest record, with especially between guitar and drums, is my favorite that he's ever done. And, yeah, he's a great dude, and he definitely is the sixth member of Arsonist. Because he has a lot of good, weird ideas, you know?
I'm pretty sure he's written at least... one or two parts on every record, and recorded at least one or three parts on every record.
Just to throw it in.
Just to have fun, like, you know. Like,
he does a lot of ska parts.
Yeah, any ska part that we do, like, he'll, like, just be like, okay, well, does it sound good like this?
He's like, you need some upstroke on that. Yeah. No, not downpicking. Do some upstroke.
Yeah.
But he's great to work with, and he's really close. He lives in Oakland. And the studio's there, so it's really convenient for us coming from Santa Cruz.
Like in 2 weeks, like you said, about a week and a half to record a record. That's
every record.
That's awesome. That's
pretty
awesome.
We've never spent longer than 2 weeks on an entire Arsonist Girl the Girls record.
It doesn't sound. I mean, it's fast and technical as it is. It doesn't sound like it's like we just rush it. It doesn't sound rushed. You know, it does sound like even down to the mix. I'm like, man, like the mix. I was like, damn, that bass. Because like, I'm a drummer, so. I'm always listening for records to have bass or no bass in it, and it's like, oh, the bass has a nice, it's not too high, it's not buried, and it's not muddy, it's just like, clear, it's like, oh, it's right there, I can hear that clearly between the guitars and the drums, all the drum hits, I can, you know, it's nice, the clarity of the mix always is what catches me with a record nowadays, it's like, I can hear a bass, just...
Zach kills it. Zach, like, even if, like, I don't know, I can't say even if we didn't work with him, we'd work with him, but, like, I wouldn't rather work with anybody else. We've like, talked about the idea of working with somebody else, and, like, Garen is like, no way.
It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't
make sense. With the quality and the person he is and how close he is and how cheap it is,
Yeah, I mean, like, and another thing about Zach, as I even said, is, like, Arsonist is always, we've always wanted to, like, have, like, an organic sound. Like, yes, we're a metal band, but we do not want to sound like every single type of recording. And Zach, you know, every record we do sounds a little bit different. We don't just have that same overproduced sound, like, because Arsonist is not that band. Arsonist is a grind experimental band, and that's what we've always tried to put out there, is that we're unique, we're different, we're not trying to fucking sound like something else.
Yeah, yeah, you could kind of see you guys were a little bit ahead of the, you know, the curve on your kind of style, because there's a lot of bands that kind of popped up and got more successful with that similar mixing of the styles, the stylistic mixes. It's like, yeah, like you said, like, here's a insane grind part next to a ska spot, a ska beat, or, you know, something that's sounds like that's a look could be in a Police album, and it's like, and then, you know, there's a, you know, it's like, yeah. It's a whole, like, whoa, you know, you guys kind of, like, I'll say, like, not the forefathers, but, you know, you guys been around long enough to be, like, the elder statesmen of this kind of stylish.
Well, appreciate that, man, because we've worked really hard. Really hard to get to where we're at. When, you know, we did 3 years of touring when we first started without anyone. We did MySpace.
Oh, when MySpace good old days.
Existed. We booked tours off of MySpace, you know. Like, we didn't expect anything. Like, I had no expectations. All I wanted to do was, I knew I wanted to tour, but, you know, we just had the right sound and the right time, and we're doing something that's, in my opinion, in a fucking world of music that all sounds exactly the same, we're able to do something that's still different and relevant. And that is, in itself, makes me very thankful for everything I do, because you look around and everything is not exactly how it was in 2005. And, like, it's never going to be exactly what it was, you know, but we're really stoked.
Cool. We've been here for a minute, so let's get ready to wrap this up. Like,
my pants.
Here's the last one.
I've been having to piss my pants. I'm so tired.
Like, here's a cup. Go for it. You know the rule.
No, I'll do it. If you tempt me, I'll fucking do it.
All right, here's the last one. Let's make it a bathroom break. You guys had some really cool pre-order packages. Who comes up with that stuff? Like, you know, like, you had the super fan one with the lyric book, and then
Sean,
you had, like, the weed thingy. I thought that was hilarious.
Sean comes up with a lot. You came up with a lot of ideas, though, with that. Like, the packages on the Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Sean came up with a lot of those, mixed with our management. But Sean had a lot to do with
it. We just tried to make it a little different. I don't know. We try to make everything just a little different. And if people dig it, then we're just, like, so much more stoked, because, like, I don't know. It's like when we wrote Listen to the Color, I was like, are people going to dig this? And we're like, if they do, fucking awesome. If they don't, fucking awesome, because
yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
And it's just like with those ideas, like, well, people might dig it, people might not dig them, but if they do, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're simple ideas, you know, like,
for fun ideas, and I like ideas, that's
yeah.
And that's the thing, you guys are very, your name is very fun and confusing for a lot of people. It's like, what the, like, yeah. Look, it's a mouthful, you know, and it's like, what do you, you know, like, you really can't tell what you guys are by that name,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, when you see, like I said, I was like checking you guys out, I was like, all right, wow, these guys are fun guys. It's like, all right, they look like they enjoy themselves. A lot of bands are just take themselves way too serious, and you guys, you know, down to the packages, just fun. It's like, let's just be fun and silly about it, and yeah. You guys are still professional without being, like, sterile about it.
Prick fucking rockstar.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's how we liked it. Even at shows, dude, like,
yeah.
someone wants to come up and shake my hand and go, I've been fucking listening to you, whatever. Dude, I'll bring him right in and fucking give him the biggest hug in the world and mean it, because I know that, like, they're the reason we're here.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, and we know that, and, like, if we can have fun and people understand that, then, like, I'm going to make them my family, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody.
Kids coming up to, like, hey, let me buy you a beer, like, nah, fuck you. Like, yeah, let's go have a conversation for 40 minutes
yes.
about any music. Let's not even talk about Arsonist. You know, let's go to the bar, have a drink, and let's just talk about music. I want to know what you like, you know? And
yeah,
kids,
man.
Are I'm weird about that, because we just smoke a shit ton of weed and play music, and that's all it is.
And
what
it's
really
legal by you guys.
Is we're just real people, and that's what's always what it's going to be. We can never ever. I mean, you listen to the music, you listen, you look at the band name, you look at us as people, we can never take ourselves. Yes, we're fucking professional. I consider us professional musicians, but we'll never, ever have that mentality because it does not, it's not us.
We feel very lucky to be in the position
that
we're at.
That's exactly.
We were just today driving. Garen drove us to the city today, and you know it may have been stressful. Oh, go fuck your life, fuck your life. But then right when we're like back on track, dude, everyone's just like, holy
where
shit!
Are
like we're
fucking
Brooklyn, like New York, like we grew up in California, like none of our friends are even in New York right now, like let alone. Playing a sick venue, let alone meeting fucking cool people, eating, like, I had this double chicken macaroni and cheese bacon burger today that was 100% vegan, like, dude.
Probably the bombest thing.
And I'll never probably go back to that spot ever in my life unless I'm, like, lucky enough to go back out on tour. And, like, that's where a lot of, like, the bands these days take themselves too serious is, like,
for granted.
At any time, they can fucking get dropped like a hot potato. Anytime. You know, whatever can happen to their music careers. So we are okay with, if after this tour we don't tour again, we had a dream that we fucking lived, that we, you know, like that we're okay with either ending or keep going.
Yeah.
We want it to keep going, but what I'm saying is if it did end, like we feel lucky enough to continue a happy life knowing that what we did already accomplished, you know, and like finding, I don't know, I feel like finding that in your career, like, really makes it, dude. Like, really makes it you not be a prick.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
Cool. All right, gentlemen. That was great. Thank you.
Dude,
let's get you to the bathroom.
Kick it, dude. Seriously, man.
Thank you guys
Thank you so much, man.
That was very eye-opening, educational, and you guys are just awesome dudes, man.
Cool, man.
I look forward to the show tonight.
To kick it all night, dude, because we're fucking real-ass motherfuckers, and I'm going to piss my fucking ass, dude. That was a good answer.